Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
at GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Every week on Science Fantastic, we profile some of the most amazing developments in science and technology. Science which affects your life. Science which changes your view of the world around you. And with us today, we have two very distinguished authors of a new book. It's called A Scientific Revolution. 10 men and women who reinvented American medicine. Specifically, we're talking about the founding of the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, one of the premier medical institutions in the United States. Talking about its history, its struggles, its mistakes, and of course, its triumphs. And if you want to know more about Science Fantastic, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org, or go to my Facebook site. We have 5 million fans on Facebook, and I've written 5 New York Times bestsellers. My latest New York Times bestseller is called The God Equation, The Quest for a Theory of Everything. Is it possible to complete Einstein's dream of one day finding an equation, perhaps no more than 1 inch long, that will allow us to quote, in the words of Einstein, read the mind of God? That was his goal, to unify all the laws of physics. Well, today we're going to talk not about physics, but about medicine. With us today are the authors of a new book, A Scientific Revolution, 10 Men and Women Who Reinvented American Medicine, by Dr. Ralph Ruben and Will Linder. Dr. Ralph Ruben is a director at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, and Will Linder is with the Johns Hopkins Humanity Advisory Council. And we're talking today about the history of medicine, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the triumphs of what we call American medicine. You know, I first heard about the history of medicine when I read a story about a country doctor in the 1800s, who made the rounds. He had a little black bag, and he would visit people in his rounds in the Midwest, and he had a diary, a very brutally candid diary. In this diary, he recorded the fact that everything in his little black bag, except for two things, was a fake. Total nonsense. Witchcraft, voodoo, magic, total nonsense in his little black bag. But hey, what could you do? It's the 1800s. Modern medicine, as we know it, didn't exist. But, he said in his diary, two things worked. Every single time, two things in his little black bag worked, without fail. The first was a hacksaw. To hacksaw off diseased limbs that are perhaps have gangrene. Second was morphine, to deaden the pain of having amputations done without anesthetics. Think of what the way medicine was during the 1800s. And then we have the founding of scientific medical institutes and hospitals like Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. So let's talk about the early days, the days when Johns Hopkins School of Medicine became one of the premier institutes of medicine in the world today. So, Dr. Ruben, tell us a little bit about the educational level of doctors in the 1800s. Did they have to go to medical school, get certified, pass an exam, go through internships, many, many years of very hard labor to become a doctor? What was the educational level like soon after the American Civil War?
Professor, thank you for that wonderful question. It was unimaginable for us today. The medical schools at the time would accept anyone willing to pay. They most did not require a high school education, and they were often just 2 years long, with the second year repeating the first year under the assumption that the students would fail their classes in the first year. There's a famous report on the status of American medicine called the Flexner Report, and I love a quotation from that in which they describe the average American medical student as too immoral for the pulpit, too stupid for the bar. It was simply horrific.
And Mr. Linder, tell us a little bit about who was Johns Hopkins founding a university with the School of Medicine in a time of tremendous ignorance about science and medicine. Who was Johns Hopkins?
Well, Johns Hopkins was a prominent merchant and investor in Baltimore from a long esteemed family, and he had near the end of his life decided to make a philanthropic bequest. And after consulting with other prominent men in Baltimore, most notably George Peabody, he decided that he would endow three interconnected institutions, which was unprecedented for the time. The first would be a university. The second would be a hospital, which would treat both the poor and the more well-to-do, and the last was a medical school. And that's where our story picks up, is with the founding of the medical schools and the challenges it faced, because the $7 million that Johns Hopkins bequeathed to the university, unprecedented in size for the time. By that time, because it was tied to his investment in stock in the B&O Railroad Company, had plummeted in value. So at the time the medical school was founded, the university had a total of $63,000 left, obviously not enough to establish a medical school.
Okay, now back in those days, I guess there were no exams or standardization or a basic core of established medical advice and medical knowledge. So, Dr. Ruban, what was it like? Was there a certification to get a doctor's degree? Did you have to pass an exam? Were there standards? What was it like? What did it take to become a doctor after the Civil War?
A great question. It didn't take much at all. It just took, you would go to medical school, and again, you just paid your way essentially through medical school, and then you could hang up a shingle. There wasn't even the residency training as we know today. And in fact, at the time, many medical schools, you could go to medical school and never put your hands on a patient, if you can imagine that. So the first patient you treated was, in essence, the first patient you've ever met. And this often had, unfortunately, horrific consequences. As John Shaw Billings said, they taught medical students as we teach boys to swim, just throwing them in the water at the deep end. And sadly, this had consequences for the patients. It was only by bringing the students to the wards and by a scientific approach to medicine did things change.
Now, some historians have written that throughout European history, rich people had private physicians that catered to their whims, and these private physicians were very expensive, but all of them were quacks and charlatans and fakes. Poor people went to hospitals, not to be cured, but hospitals were basically areas where people went to die. That is, they were not institutes of learning or healing. Now, let's take a short commercial break. But after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of a scientific revolution. 10 men and women who reinvented American medicine. And you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. If you want to get on 100 radio stations to ask a question or comment, give us a call at 612 612- 864-8135, and maybe you can get on national radio. Give us a call.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you ready to retire? Inflation is picking up, the markets are volatile, and the dream of a comfortable retirement is harder to attain than ever before. The stock market goes up and down is beyond your control. But you're at a point in your life where you can't afford to make big financial mistakes. I'm Al Abaroa, founder of Knight Strategic Wealth. Our investment strategy allows you to go up with the stock market, lock in your gains, and when the stock market goes down, your investment won't lose a dime. This works for your investments, savings at a brokerage firm, or even money at a bank. It's simple, it's safe, and that's why savvy investors work with us. Want to learn more? Text FREE to 833-898-0500, and we'll send our retirement readiness kit directly to your phone right now. If you want to help build a retirement portfolio that will go up with the market and literally never lose money, get our retirement readiness kit today and see how this strategy can help secure your future. Text FREE to 833-898-0500. Text FREE to 833-898-0500.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today are the authors of an important book. It's called A Scientific Revolution. 10 men and women who reinvented American medicine. With us today is Dr. Ralph H. Rubin. He's with the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. And William Linder with the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine's Humanity Advisory Council. So, Mr. Linder, let me ask you a question about some of the early pioneers who said, this can't continue. We have to have reputable scientists, trained scientists. We have to use the best of our medical understanding. Tell us a little bit about John Shaw Billings and what was it like to be a physician during the American Civil War and afterwards. So who were some of the pioneers who made Johns Hopkins School of Medicine possible?
Well, John Shaw Billings, as you mentioned, Professor, fought in the Civil War or served in the Civil War as an Army surgeon. He actually went through both the battles of Gettysburg and Chancellorsville, which were some of the most horrific in the entire the entire war. His experience treating the wounded and dying under fire were astonishingly harrowing. He, in letters to his wife at home, he wrote that he was removing blood from his ear, from his stint in the operating room for hours after the battle ended, and he was grazed by a bullet. The conditions were horrible. Perhaps that's one reason that after the Civil War he stopped practicing medicine, and he made his name as a designer and builder of hospitals and other institutions. He was commissioned during the Army after his battlefield service ended to write a report on hospitals and hospital sanitation. And out of that grew an expertise in the design and management organization of large institutions. And that was the knowledge he carried to Johns Hopkins when the trustees elected to appoint Billings as the chief designer and initiator of the Hopkins Hospital. He was a visionary, and he envisioned a system which incorporated the latest standards of sanitation and hygiene that were known to combat the spread of infection. And he was also a visionary in his belief in science and research as the basis for sound patient care.
You know, there was a TV show years ago, something called The Day the Earth Changed, about wars historically, and medicine historically was full of charlatans and fakes. Rich people would pay lots of money for charlatans to say mumbo jumbo, things that basically had no medical value whatsoever. But these doctors guarded their potions, even though they were worthless, guarded their potions because that's how they made their money. Then in the 1800s, there were gigantic continental wars raging over Europe. With so many people dying, all of a sudden the kings and queens of Europe said, wait a minute, we're losing this war. We have to have reputable doctors who know what they're doing to tend to all the thousands of soldiers that are dying of open wounds. So doctors began to publish. A sea change took place. Instead of catering to the whims of rich people, these doctors began to publish. They began to become famous within their own discipline, not famous within the circles of rich people who could buy whatever nonsense they could afford, but they became famous within their school of doctors who had reputable therapies. Well, Dr. Ruben, let's now move a little bit to Mary Elizabeth Garrett, a feminist who opened the floodgates to women. So what was it like to be a woman during this period of time, and then to have somebody like Mary Elizabeth Garrett open the floodgates?
Great question, Professor. So Mary Elizabeth Garrett was born here in Baltimore in 1854, and she was born to a wealthy family. But while her brothers were sent to Princeton College, she herself was prevented from going to college. She famously wrote, "I begged my father that I should be allowed to go to college," but she was denied the right to go to college. In fact, the president of Johns Hopkins at the time, Gilman, denied her admissions to college because he said that women should, quote, not be exposed to the rougher influences, which I am sorry to confess are still found in colleges and universities where young men resort. So out of this kind of perverse idea of protecting women, the men who were in power denied them an education. But it turned out for the best for Mary Elizabeth Garrett, because she then was able to work for her father as her papa's secretary, as she called it. She absorbed the family business, and when he passed away, she inherited a fortune. As she said, I was surprised. And what was really quite remarkable is that despite the fact that she didn't have a college education, she went about improving the quality of education in the United States and ensuring that there was equity, that women be admitted to medical school on the same basis of men. As she famously said, she was dedicated that women should rise above the dull commonplace of their lives. So an extraordinary woman who was denied a college education, who then went about to fix things by improving the education for women as they prepared for college, by founding the Bryn Mawr School for Girls, by improving colleges for women, by supporting the Bryn Mawr College just outside of Philadelphia, and then by insisting that Johns Hopkins admit women on the same basis as men, and that Johns Hopkins have high admission standards. So very hard for women, but Mary Elizabeth Garrett helped change that.
You know, there's a famous story in mathematical circles about Sophie Germain during the French Revolution, and she was a mathematician doing cutting-edge research in mathematics, but she knew that as a woman she wouldn't get nowhere, so she would impersonate a man. She wrote under a pen name, a man's name, and the world of mathematics was stunned to find this young male genius rising in the ranks. Finally, when she was established, she would actually meet a few of these mathematicians that she so admired, and they were shocked. They were shocked to find that this mathematician was a woman and not a man. Well, I guess we've come a long way since then, right? But wasn't Johns Hopkins University, I'm Mr. Linder, wasn't Johns Hopkins University one of the first to pioneer the education of women doctors?
It was. One hard and fast condition of Mary Elizabeth Garrett's decision to bail out the failing finances of the university, what it wanted to start the medical school. One of her unalterable conditions, as Ralph has mentioned, was that the school admit women from the start on the same terms as men were admitted. So there are many, in fact, who believe that because of her role in admitting women to medical education and raising standards of medical education in the United States, that the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine should, in fact, be called the Mary Elizabeth Garrett School of Medicine.
Okay, now there were a number of distinguished physicians rising in the ranks during this period of time. William Henry Welch, Sir William Osler. Dr. Ruben, tell us a little bit about some of the pioneering work done by these doctors who really put medicine on a sound scientific footing.
Thank you for that question. So there were really several things they did, and William Welch is a great example of bringing the idea of science applied to medicine to the United States. Prior to this, you could study the science of stars, but because of him...
Okay, Dr. Ruben, we have to take a short commercial break, but after the break, we're going to continue the discussion of your book, A Scientific Revolution, 10 Men and Women Who Reinvented American Medicine, by Drs. Ralph Ruben and William Linder. And you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call if you want to get on national radio, 612-564-8135 is the number to call. Give us a call, leave your name, call letters of the radio station or website you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe you can get on national radio.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The information that I was given turned out in part to be inaccurate, and I'm absolutely livid about that.
Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott when talking to reporters on Friday regarding the police response to the Uvalde school shooting massacre. The governor continues with a promise to everyone who lost a loved one in Uvalde.
My expectation is that the law enforcement leaders that are leading the investigations, which includes the Texas Rangers and the FBI, they get to the bottom of every fact.
The U.S. and Taiwan are reportedly planning economic discussions despite warnings from China. Taiwan officials saying the two countries could start talking in a few weeks. Thanks for listening. This is USA Radio News. The National Rifle Association is holding its national convention in Houston, just about 300 miles from Uvalde. Former President Trump speaking at the convention. At the beginning of the speech, he asked for silence as he read the names of the victims in Uvalde. He added this.
Every time a disturbed or a demented person commits such a hideous crime, there's always a grotesque effort by some in our society to use the suffering of others to advance their own extreme political agenda.
The Biden administration is weighing plans to cancel $10,000 of student loan debt per borrower. However, White House officials warn no decision has been finalized. Biden has previously said he's willing to sign legislation canceling student loan debt. Progressives in the Democratic Party, such as AOC, wanting more than $10,000 forgiven. This is USA Radio News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is Dr. Ralph Ruben and William Blinder, author of the book A Scientific Revolution, 10 Men and Women Who Reinvented American Medicine. We sometimes forget that a handful of pioneers were able to establish medicine as a firm scientific endeavor. Not just a province of rich people who could afford to pay for a quack. No, we're talking about reproducible, testable, falsifiable evidence that could be duplicated in any laboratory. And Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine was right there blazing the way. Well, Dr. Ruben, we were talking about some of the contributions of these early pioneers like William Henry Welsh and Sir William Osler. Could you elaborate?
Yeah, thank you. So William Welsh, brought essentially science to medicine, and he did it in a really remarkable way, and that was in an open way in which he welcomed new ideas, he welcomed the ideas from his students, from the young people, and he set up a lab that was dedicated to the scientific method, but also open to new ideas. And this allowed a number of young physician scientists to thrive and make great discoveries. Osler, on the other hand, was probably recognized as one of the greatest physicians North America has ever produced, and he did two things. He helped establish the philosophy of what it means to be a doctor, what it means to be a physician, and he brought students to the wards. And I absolutely love some of William Osler's philosophy. Some of it's applicable for you and I. Consume your own smoke so that those around you won't be annoyed with the dust and soot of your complaints. But he also had a philosophy of what it means to be a physician. And he gave an address at the Canadian Medical Association, and I'll quote from it, "Nothing will sustain you more potently than the power to recognize the true poetry of life, the poetry of the commonplace, of the ordinary man, of the plain toil-worn woman, with their loves and their joys, their sorrows and their griefs." So they're recognizing that, as you describe it, it's not just treating the wealthy, it's recognizing the beauty in treating the suffering and the poor. So William Osler helped develop the philosophy of what it means to be a physician, and as I mentioned, he brought medical students to the wards so that the students could learn by seeing actual patients. And indeed, Osler desired no epitaph other than, here lies a man who brought the students to the wards.
And Mr. Linder, isn't it true that Johns Hopkins University pioneered the fact that medical advances could be published, could be distributed, that doctors didn't conceal and hide their therapies because that's how they made their money, by catering to rich people, but we had reproducible, testable, falsifiable evidence that could be disseminated to schools of medicine throughout the country. So was Johns Hopkins University at the forefront of this motion?
It was, in fact, Professor, and one of the reasons that Hopkins was so important was that it was part of a university, which had been the tradition for medical schools in Europe for almost time immemorial. But in the United States, there were relatively few university-affiliated institutions. Hopkins was really one of the first in that regard. So the whole tradition of reproducible evidence-based research was sort of embedded in the DNA of Johns Hopkins when it founded a medical school.
We're going to have to take another short commercial break. But after the break, we're going to talk about some of the darker side, some of the seamier side of science. And once again, you're listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call, 612-564-8135 is the number to call if you want to share your thoughts on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. So, give us a call.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$1,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Do you fear getting COVID? I've had COVID 4 times over 2 years now, and it is very easy to eliminate from my body. We've all heard the several nutritional and medical recommendations on how to protect from COVID. However, no one is talking about the one I've found to be the most effective. I've had 2 clients debilitated with COVID symptoms for days or months take our Green Meadow Whey protein powder and feel either 100% well or much better in the first 24 hours. That's a faster recovery than offered by any medication or other nutritional supplement. Green Meadow Whey is naturally rich in the protein called lactoferrin. Non-denatured lactoferrin is a protein that binds to viruses and cell receptor sites so they cannot enter the cell, as well as defends the body against bacteria, fungi, parasites, and supports abdominal fat loss. I have found that nature always has a superior answer to any health challenge. Let Green Meadow Whey empower your body and immunity to the highest levels of health. To order, go to bestwheyprotein.net. That's BESTWHEY protein.net or call 888-988-3325.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call if you want to get on the air, 612-564-8135. Go to my website if you want to know more about this program, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. is the website, and on Facebook, we have 5 million fans on Facebook. Well, let's now talk about the seamier side, the darker side of medical ethics. First of all, let's talk about yellow fever. Jesse Lazier was a doctor at Johns Hopkins University who thought that this horrible disease in the tropics was spread by mosquitoes, and he was willing to test his idea on his own body, for which he perished as a consequence. So tell us a little bit about the ethics of who you experiment with, as how you verify certain facts, even if some people have to die in the process. So, Dr. Ruben, tell us a little bit about Jesse Lazier and yellow fever.
Thank you. So, yeah, yellow fever is a disease, a virus that's transmitted by mosquitoes. And around 1900, 1899, in Cuba, there was an outbreak of yellow fever. And so the United States sent down a team of physicians and scientists to figure out how was it transmitted. Was it transmitted by the mosquito, as malaria is, or was it transmitted person to person by coughing and other means? And so this brave scientific oriented cohort went down there and tried to figure it out. And what they did is they experimented on themselves. Jesse Lazier, who was a young doctor from Johns Hopkins, caught a mosquito that had bitten a patient with yellow fever, let the mosquito incubate for 10 or 12 days, and then let the mosquito bite himself. And he himself acquired yellow fever and sadly died from it. But this was the first major clue that yellow fever was transmitted by the mosquito. And this saved many, many lives that would have been otherwise lost from yellow fever. But you raise a great point, and that's informed consent. And so in the war against yellow fever, there's a wonderful or interesting history where at first some of the experiments were done by others, unwilling subjects, where individuals without their knowledge were given blood from yellow fever victims. symptoms to see if it was transmitted by blood. Then, as I mentioned, in Cuba, the team, they experimented on themselves. But subsequently, Walter Reed used what was probably the first informed consent in the United States, in which volunteers were paid, but they signed a consent form recognizing the risks of the procedure. Now, one can argue whether paying an impoverished person to risk their life is, in fact, fair or informed, but that was the first step where an individual who was willing to undergo experimentation signed a piece of paper in which the risks and benefits were spelled out. Today, I think we'd be much more careful, and we would not want to put an individual at risk of dying, and we'd be careful not to lure them into the research with money. But many of those fundamental principles of informed consent were started in the war against yellow fever.
Well, Mr. Linder, what are your thoughts about this? The fact that death was a very definite side effect of being injected with the horrible poisons contained within mosquitoes. And these people were basically signing, in some sense, a death warrant. That is a certain probability that they're not going to walk out of this experiment alive. Do you think that such a thing was morally justified? And what about today's standard of informed consent? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that, as Ralph has pointed out, the notion of informed consent evolved gradually in medicine. One of the researchers, there was an Italian researcher some decades before Lazier and the Yellow Fever Board, who had injected his patients with toxins in an effort to identify the causes of tuberculosis, and that was totally without their knowledge and assent. And several of those patients died. So the work that Lazier and his colleagues on the Yellow Fever Board represented a step forward. As Ralph has said, first they agreed to what it.
Okay, we're going to have to take another short commercial break. But after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of the book, A Scientific Revolution, 10 Men and Women Who Reinvented American Medicine. And if you want to get on Science Fantastic, give us a call, 612-564-8135 is the number to call. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station or the website you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, and maybe you can have your thoughts heard on national radio. Give us a call.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammy, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is, Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world. And that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. You know, when you hear the words Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, you think of quality, you think of leadership. You think of an organization at the cutting edge of medical research. But hey, let's be real. Things don't happen by magic. People struggle. People have to make sacrifices. And that's where this book comes in, The Scientific Revolution, 10 Men and Women Who Reinvented American Medicine. That's where they talk about some of the trials and tribulations to establish the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine as one of America's premier scientific and medical institutes. Well, Dr. Huben, let's say a few things about William Stuart Halsted. He was a surgeon. He had many, many decades of service to his patients and to the country, but he was also a drug addict. So tell us a little bit about, is it possible to become a doctor, to provide life-saving medical advice as a surgeon, but also to be addicted to morphine?
Great question, and obviously a controversial one. So William Halsted was just amazing. He's born in 1852 to a wealthy family in Manhattan. He goes to Yale, where he scores the first touchdown ever scored in a football game. But as we mentioned, there were no admission standards to medical school, so he goes to medical school and Columbia, then goes to Europe to learn the scientific method. He comes back to the United States and reads a paper by a student of Sigmund Freud that if you put cocaine in the eye, you can touch the eye. Now, cocaine was not known to be addictive, nor was it illegal. And so Halsted and his students and other doctors got together and injected each other in their nerves to try and develop painless surgery. So when you go to the dentist and the dentist injects the nerve before he drills your tooth, that's thanks to Halsted. But unfortunately, cocaine is an addictive drug. He became addicted to it, as did his colleagues. They try treating him with morphine, which again, they didn't appreciate the addictive qualities of that. So Halsted ends up a morphine addict. He's institutionalized in Butler Hospital in Providence, Rhode Island. But when Hopkins opens, William Henry Welsh, who we talked about earlier, brings him down to Hopkins, and Halsted fundamentally changes surgery. He's a different person because of his addiction. He's now slow and careful. And in fact, the Mayo brothers, Will and Charles Mayo, visited Halsted and watched him operate and said he was so slow the top of the incision healed before he got to the bottom of the incision. So paradoxically, because of his addiction, he was able to change surgery. He switched from the fast, bold surgeon in New York to the slow, careful, and meticulous surgeon at Hopkins. He also introduced residency training in surgery, probably because he needed someone to care for his patients because of his addiction if he couldn't be around. So it's a sad story for Halsted that he had to endure this. Again, he did not know these were addictive substances, but he fundamentally changed because of his addiction, and in some way his addiction allowed him to revolutionize American surgery.
And Mr. Linder, let me ask you about Reed Mendenhall, a woman doctor, and Vivian Thomas. an African-American who was the grandson of slaves. These people rose to prominence within the university. Tell us a little bit about what the struggle was, if you were a woman or an African-American, to rise in the medical establishment.
Well, for Dorothy Reed Mendenhall, she was a progressive thinker and a visionary in so many respects. She was born to a wealthy family in Columbus, Ohio, who wanted nothing more for her future than for her to marry a wealthy, well-connected husband and be a wife and mother in Columbus society. But she resisted that pressure, and instead she attended Smith College, which was one of the early colleges in the United States to focus on pre-professional preparation for women. And then she went on to Johns Hopkins Medical School. And at that point, she made some unheralded, unprecedented contributions to her profession. She was the individual who identified the cell that was responsible for Hopkins lymphoma. Previously, it had been thought that that disease was a form of tuberculosis. But Reed, as a graduate fellow in William Welch's laboratory, proved conclusively that it was, in fact, a form of cancer. And in a monograph she published of some 60-odd pages, she not only established the medical evidence for that, but drew all the illustrations of the characteristic, what became known as the Reed-Sternberg cell. She also faced incredible discrimination in the medical profession. She at one time defied the Johns Hopkins Hospital superintendent to take up her position as an intern in the medical wards where she was treating black patients. The superintendent had told her that that was impossible and that her interest in doing that work was only because of her perverted sexual interest. In fact, she refused to take no for an answer, and she assumed that position as an intern and managed the black ward at that time called the colored wards, with professionalism and care. So Reed was a groundbreaking figure. As for Thomas, he faced incredible bigotry and prejudice as a surgical lab manager at Hopkins.
Mr. Linder, unfortunately, we have run out of time. But once again, your book is fascinating. The book is called A Scientific Revolution, 10 Men and Women Who Reinvented American Medicine, about the history of the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. And if you want to learn more about Science Fantastic, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org, or check out my Facebook site. We have 5 million fans on Facebook, and I've written 5 New York Times bestsellers. The latest one is called The God Equation, which is what I do for a living. I work in something called string theory, which we think is the theory of everything. Good day.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.